This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow, that was a press conference today. Joe Biden is in trouble. Our border is also in trouble. Your dollar's in trouble. Everything's trouble, but it's still going to be a fun show tonight on I'm Right.
Instead of being honest with the American people, President Biden has claimed since the 2020 election that his family has not received money from China. That was a lie in 2020, and he continues to lie to the American people now.
The things they laid out today in that press conference, you know, I'm never all, wow, the GOP, but man, they have uncovered some truly amazing things about how the Biden family has just been taking bribes. What exactly for? I don't know. They're going to go into all that. We'll ask Jim Jordan about that. But not just from China, Romania, Ukraine. Joe Biden, the Biden family, is a crime family. And they are in trouble. The media has ignored it all day, of course. But Joe Biden, I've already said, I think the system is going to push him out because they want a different Democrat. He's too old and stupid and unpopular. I think today might have sealed it for Joe Biden. I don't know. Let's find out. Joining me now, Congressman Jim Jordan, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. That's why we're actually finally getting some things done in this freaking government. Congressman, okay, break this down today, if you wouldn't mind, for people who didn't watch the whole press conference like I did. The Biden family in China, what's the connection?
Well, CEFC, this company with some shady backgrounds, was paying money to these various LLCs that were set up. Joe Biden said, no, we never had any business deals. My son never had any business dealings with China. That turns out not to be accurate. But I think the big picture is what, you know, 170 suspicious activity reports. And I always say the key word in there is suspicious, that our government, our Treasury Department, put together about all these banking transactions taking place. So 170 suspicious activity reports that the committee's reviewed, thousands of pages of bank records that the committee subpoenaed and reviewed show that there are over 20 limited liability companies that the Biden family and people they companies they had ties to were set up, that received millions of dollars from foreign entities, and that money was then paid out through these LLCs to various members of the Biden family. Those brother, his son, the president's sister-in-law, his daughter-in-law, all kinds of people got money from these companies. And it sort of raises the fundamental question, Jesse, why? Why did they get paid? What did they do? What service did they provide? What value did they add? What was the business they were operating? No one seems to be able to have an answer to that question. And that to me is the fundamental question. And frankly, the complexity of this operation, I think, was done by design. To maybe hide how it was all working. But that's the big concern, and that's what the committee has now uncovered, and Chairman Comer pointed that out today in the press event.
Suspicious activity report. How does one even get rung up on one of those things? What constitutes suspicious activity?
I think big payments, money moving from bank to bank to bank. This was just four banks. Chairman Comer said there's other banks that they're going to subpoena records from. So that's the key. And again, this is our government. It's the Treasury Department. Some of these suspicious activity reports were put together in the Obama-Biden administration. So while he's vice president, our own Treasury Department, the Treasury Department in the Obama-Biden administration was putting some of these reports together. So that is, and why not just, seems to me also the fundamental question, Jesse, is why not just be honest? Why not just tell us the truth? Be straight with the American people. Almost seems to be a pattern with this administration. You know, you got Mayorkas saying the border is secure. We know that's not accurate. You got the 51 former intel officials. Biden said that, you know, this thing just sort of happened organically. He never told us that his campaign was actually involved in how this was all going to be put together. So why not just be clear? They told us that our debt ceiling bill was going to hurt veterans, which is not true. So just be square with us on everything, but certainly on this issue.
Well, I think we know why they can't be honest about that. What could a congressman, senator, bringing in $165,000, $170,000 a year, not that that's bad money, what value could he provide China, unless it's taxpayer value of some kind? But it didn't stop at China. Apparently, this family, they're world travelers. Romania as well. Was it the same kind of setup in Romania, LLC to sister-in-law?
Yeah, and it's like, it goes to these LLCs, the business partners, Mr. Robinson Walker and others get, usually it's a third, a third, a third. So one third of it gets paid out to the Biden family, whether it's from money from Romania, money from Ukraine, money from China. All these, we know that Hunter took money from the wife of the mayor of Moscow. I mean, so on and on it goes. That just is not normal. That's not how businesses operate. Why not just have one company? If you're doing a legitimate business, one company, you get paid for legitimate work. But there never seems to be anything you can point to that they provided any type of real work, real service, real value added. They just got paid money. So what were they doing for this money? Did they pay the taxes on the receipt of this money? We don't know that either. Those are the fundamental questions that I think everybody has.
I have a question I think I know the answer to, and I wish I didn't, but why are we just now finding out about this? We had to wait till Jim Jordan was the head of the Judiciary Committee. Joe Biden was vice president under Obama. Then Trump took over, so we supposedly had a Republican-led government. And now we have to wait till May 10th? Why are we just finding out about this now?
You know, it's the sort of the fundamental question. It's why we're doing the oversight work we're doing, Jesse. I do think that it's no accident that we also have learned here in the last few weeks how this whole 51 former intel officials put this letter together, how that was used, and the coordination that seems to have occurred with the campaign based on Mike Morrell sitting for an interview under oath and the answers he gave us to our questions. We know that Tony Blinken contacted him, and that's what prompted Morrell to go organize this letter, put it together. He said he did it because he wanted Biden to have something to use in the debate against President Trump. He said he did it because he wanted Biden to be the next president. And of course, we now find out that it was the Biden campaign was telling Mike Morrell, here are the reporters we want you to give this letter to. So we're just now figuring all this out. And, you know, none of this, we didn't know any of this over the last couple of years. So it's sort of the way it works around here. We got to dig in. We got to be in control of the Congress so we can do the real oversight that is warranted and our duty under the Constitution to get the answers and the facts to the American people. And we're going to continue. But by the way, Jesse, on this letter, we now know that it looks like someone in the CIA actively recruited a person to sign the letter. This person who worked for the Publication Review Board, they called up an individual who actually signed the letter, Mr. David Kariens, who signed the letter. He had another book he was writing in front of the Publication Review Board. They called him and said, hey, we've approved your book. By the way, would you be interested in signing this letter that other members of the intel community are signing? That is as wrong as it gets, and it looks like that happened.
It looks like our entire federal government has been weaponized against the right, and people are understandably overwhelmed. I hope you can unpack all this. Okay, I know I don't mean to change the subject. Maybe I'm not. I know we had an FBI whistleblower come forward and accuse Joe Biden of bribery. Dare I even ask, is that part of this, or is this a separate bit of corruption?
Well, it looks like it's part of it. Well, again, we haven't seen the document, but we've had a whistleblower who came to Senator Grassley. Senator Grassley talked to Chairman Comer. That's why he sent the letter to the FBI. The FBI is due to get back with us to Chairman Comer and Senator Grassley sometime today. I don't know if that's happened yet. We've been in a markup here in Judiciary Committee, but we'll see. The whistleblower alleges that there's a informant who has talked to folks in the FBI saying that Joe Biden took certain policy positions and policy actions based on some kind of transaction. I don't know if it's accurate. What I do know is a whistleblower that Senator Grassley thinks is credible came to Senator Grassley and said he thinks this actually happened. So you got a number of levels of, you know, you got the informant telling someone, that person in the FBI puts this on a form called a 1023 form, which is the form used when informants give information to the FBI. And supposedly the whistleblower has seen that document. And that's what Chairman Comer asked to get from the FBI. We'll see what happens. We'll see what the FBI says. But again, Senator Grassley thinks this whistleblower is credible. So we'll just wait and see what we get back.
That's at least encouraging. Are we getting more? It seems like we're getting more and more of these whistleblowers, and I find that to be encouraging. Brave people coming out of what appears to be a very corrupt system to speak the truth. I find this inspiring.
It is, and we're going to hear from some of those next week. We think the plan is to have a hearing next week where some of the folks, the whistleblowers, have come talk to us, and we've had over a couple dozen who've come to our committee. We've interviewed several of those, and some of those who we've interviewed we think we'll be in a public hearing here in the real near future. We're looking at possibly even next week for that. But they have been, they're brave folks. Many of them, we believe, have been retaliated against for coming forward and telling us the truth. And so we're gonna highlight that in a hearing real soon.
Yeah, IRS will be visiting all of them. Congressman, I appreciate you very much.
Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate what you do.
Well, we had an inflation report come out, and we'll get to that in a second. There's a lot to swallow today. We're not even talking about the vice president. All right, well, let's get to this. Let's get to wealth, finances. Forget wealth. It's probably a bad way to put it. Let's just talk about our money. We're about to talk about inflation. The government, the United States government, is destroying the value of your dollar every single day. They're apparently not going to stop. They're not going to slow down. They're going to keep going. They're going to keep printing money. They're going to keep passing multi-trillion dollar bills. And where does that leave you and me? Totally screwed. Unless we have the financial security of precious metals. You need something solid in your hands. Gold, silver coins. Oxford Gold will mail them to your front door. Did you know that? They'll mail them to your front door. They'll get gold and silver in your IRA and 401k. And they make it easy. It's not a freaking burden. It's not some used car sales pitch chirping in your ear. Call them. Call 833-995-GOLD. Tell them Jesse told you to call. They'll take care of you. 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back. Oh, goody, inflation. We have more of it. That's outstanding news. 4.9% year over year now. That makes it over 17.4% since Joe Biden took office. What's that mean to you? Well, you already know what it means. You buy groceries, you buy gas, eggs up 21, pet food 14, bread 12. I could go down the list. Everything in your life's more expensive. There, I simplified it for you. It's freaking awful. When's it going to stop? What can we do about it? I don't know. I bet Peter does, though. Peter Schiff joins us now, chief economist and global strategist at Euro Pacific Asset Management. Okay, Peter, 4.9% socks. It's not obviously not ideal. I don't like being 4.9% poorer than I was yesterday, but it's better than 8. Are we getting better?
Well, I guess it's not quite as bad as it was, but it's not good. I mean, if you thought prices were high before, they just went up another 4.9% from where they were a year ago. And that was up a lot from where they were a year before that. But of course, these government measures are not honest. You basically have to double the official numbers to get a better idea of what's actually happening to prices. So if the government says they're up 4.9%, they're probably up closer to 9.8%. That is a better read on what Americans are struggling with.
Peter, can you explain that part of it before we move on to anything else? Because I know they lie. It's the government. Of course they lie. They lie about everything. How do they manipulate the numbers to make that number look better than it actually is?
Well, they don't have to manipulate it. The CPI was designed to manipulate it. So there's a formula. They don't just have a fixed basket of goods and just compare the price now to the price a month ago or a year ago. That's what they used to do in the 1970s. They don't do that anymore. They tinker with the basket. So the methodology for calculating the CPI has been designed to produce a lower number than what we used to get when we had a more honest measure of prices. So that's by design. The government doesn't have to lie. The CPI does it for them.
Okay. Now, interest rates. Now, I understand we have the ultimate devil's bargain here. You can have high interest rates or you can have high inflation. I get it. What's the Fed going to do now facing 4.9%? Does this make them stop rates? Do rates keep going up? What do you predict?
Well, actually, we have both. We're going to have high interest rates and high inflation. And,
good.
Because interest rates are prices. It's the price you pay when you borrow money. The price is going up, just like the price of everything else. And in fact, interest expense is a major part of every business. You have labor costs, you have raw material costs, you have rent, and then you have interest. And as interest goes up, well, that's just another cost that you need to pass on to your customers through higher prices. So it's a self-perpetuating spiral. What we really need to attack inflation is lower government spending. Government needs to cut spending, but that's not happening. In fact, they're doing the opposite. Under Biden, the government is increasing spending, so they are throwing gasoline on an inflation fire.
Okay, Peter, how does this end in anything else but a disaster? Because I know what you say is true. They're still printing it. They're still spending it. We're doing everything possible to make it worse. Where does this buck stop?
Yeah, in a disaster. That's the only way it will end, because as long as there is no disaster, we'll keep kicking the can down the road until one happens. And the disaster that's coming, I think, is going to be a sovereign debt and currency crisis. So much worse than just the garden variety financial crisis we had in 2008, because this time it's not just going to be subprime mortgages that are the problem. It's going to be U.S. Treasury debt. That's the problem. Nobody is going to want to own our sovereign debt because of how high inflation is. And that's also going to create a dollar crisis. And so this is where we're headed, and it is a big disaster. Everybody wants to pretend that we're going to have a crisis if we don't raise the debt ceiling. No, we're going to have a crisis because we do raise the debt ceiling, because we've continued to raise that debt ceiling rather than dealing with the real problem, which is not the ceiling, but the debt. The ceiling would be the solution to the problem if they only stopped raising it.
Can you explain what that looks like as best you can for the average American? Okay, what does it mean when countries stop wanting to buy up our debt? What does that mean for me? I'm just a normal idiot. I buy groceries and hang out with my kids on the weekend. What does it mean for me?
Well, the reason that Americans continue to enjoy a higher standard of living than what we would normally be awarded based on our collective productivity is because of the dollar's role as a reserve currency, and because our trading partners are willing to accept the dollars we print for the goods that they produce. And they're willing to hold on to those dollars by loaning them back to us, by buying our treasury debt or mortgage-backed securities or other debt instruments. So we basically get to buy stuff for lower prices and then borrow money at lower interest rates. Now, if the world stops wanting to accept our dollars because they no longer have confidence in the dollar's future purchasing power, in the exchange rate of the dollar versus their own currency, then what that immediately means is prices of everything that we want to buy go way up, and the cost of borrowing money goes way up. So Americans see their standard of living go way down, because if the prices of everything goes up, they can't afford to buy anymore. So now a lot of the things that we take for granted, we can no longer afford. And to the extent that we need to borrow money, we can't afford that either. So the entire economy just collapses. And that is the disaster that we are heading for.
Peter, that sounds like a Great Depression or worse to me.
Yeah, it's probably going to be worse. But yeah, I mean, I think it is a depression. But unlike the depression of the 1930s, where people at least got the benefit of falling prices, that provided some relief during the depression. You lost your job, but at least the cost of living went down. And if you didn't lose your job, you were actually better off because you had your paycheck, and your paycheck went further because consumer prices fell during the 1930s. But this time, even the people who don't lose their jobs are going to suffer, because they're going to lose the value of their paychecks. They're going to lose the value of their savings, because everything that you need to buy is going to be a lot more expensive. And that's going to compound the burden for the unemployed, because not only are they going to be without jobs, but their savings are going to be destroyed. And even if they get checks from the government, it's not going to be enough to afford the basic necessities.
Why can't these people see this coming? It seems so obvious to me when you print money like this. China, they're already moving with the BRICS as far as the reserve currency goes. Brazil and China have already moved off of the reserve. Why can't they see this coming? I'm a moron and I can see it coming. Why don't they do something?
Well, they never see any disasters coming. Or if they do, they lie about it. They don't want to admit it. I mean, why couldn't they see 2008 coming? That was obvious. Why couldn't they see this inflation problem? I mean, they were claiming it was transitory when it was obvious that it wasn't. You know, so it's all about spin when it comes to the government. They're never going to be honest. They're either going to lie about what's going to happen, or maybe they're just so ignorant that they really can't see what is clearly apparent to anybody who objectively looks at the facts. So you've got to think for yourself and recognize that the government is never going to, you know, tell you about a crisis. You just need to prepare for it yourself.
Jeez. Peter, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Take care.
Title 42, the border. It's all kind of bad. That was bad. The border is bad. There's a lot of bad. We're going to talk to Mark Krikorian about what's going on at the border. We're going to talk to him next. Before we talk to Mark Krikorian, did you hear what Peter just said? Worse than the Great Depression. You ever see the pictures of the soup kitchen lines during the Great Depression? Not a bunch of homeless people out there. American families standing there waiting for some kind of daily sustenance. We like to think that this is some other world, but that happened in our country. That happened less than 100 years ago in our country. Do you have an emergency 3-month food kit when that bubble goes pop? You really need to have that. This is a family need. Everyone in your home needs 3 months worth of food. My Patriot Supply has 3-month emergency food kits prepped and ready to go. Buy it, please don't eat it. Stash it. Stash it if, God forbid, the day comes you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. They got $200 of free survival gear with it, and I really hope you don't need that. Per kit, MyPatriotSupply.com. We'll be back.
Title 42. Is the United States ready for the surge of people that's going to come across the border starting later this week?
But it remains to be seen. It's going to be chaotic for a while.
Chaotic for a while. It's been so calm, but now it's going to be chaotic. Joining me now, Mark Krikorian, Executive Director for the Center for Immigration Studies. Mark, the border has been so calm and peaceful and secure. It's about to get chaotic, though.
Yeah, I thought this was just like a seasonal thing. Happens every year. It's no big deal. You know, this is unbelievable. It's unbelievable what's going on. And people aren't even waiting for Title 42 to end. Babylon Bee had a joke that Mayorkas was going down to the border to fire the starting pistol, you know, for all the illegal immigrants. But they're jumping the gun. And they're just pouring over now and overwhelming the Border Patrol. And the Border Patrol's is stuck because of the Biden policies, because they end up just letting them go. I mean, some of them they'll get sent back, but a lot of them are just going to be released onto the street.
Okay, Mark, let's focus on this for a moment. Where are these people coming from? I know for a fact we have over 80,000 people coming from Venezuela. Who's coming here?
They're coming from every place. Venezuela, Haiti are two big places, but one of our guys is down there in Matamoros, which is opposite Brownsville, Texas. The hotel he's staying in there is loaded with people from Kyrgyzstan, which is one of those Central Asian former Soviet republics, a whole hotel full of them. So they're coming from every place. I was on the border a few weeks ago over in Arizona. We ran into a family from Angola. And I talked to a group of about half a dozen people from Georgia, from the Republic of Georgia in the Caucasus. So word has gotten out. This isn't just nearby people. It certainly no longer has anything to do with just Mexican farm workers. This is now a worldwide phenomenon because Biden has invited basically every wannabe illegal immigrant in the world to head to the Mexican border. And the odds are pretty good that they'll end up being let go if they get across.
Mark, I hate to ask a freaking nerd detail question, but this stuff fascinates me, and you're the expert on this stuff. Okay, Georgia, Kurdistan, or whatever place that was you just mentioned. How do they get from there to here? What is the process? Are these people hiding out in cargo ships? Are they booking a flight on Delta? How does one even do that?
They're flying here. The Georgians was an interesting case. After the Border Patrol took the busload of people away, I went on the other side of the fence, still in the U.S., but it's the side facing the river, walked around. I found a torn up e-ticket, printout e-ticket, from one of the Georgians from Paris to Cancun. So they had to get themselves to Paris, and they paid for a round trip ticket to con the Mexican visa officer into thinking they were just coming to Cancun for vacation. And then they take a bus up to the border, and they just walked across, and Border Patrol is there to pick them up very obligingly.
Okay. All right. I've heard that we're sending troops down to the border. Is that going to do something to secure the border, Mark?
No. In fact, if anything, it's going to make it worse. Troops can't arrest people. It's in the United States. They're not going to be shooting people. Even under earlier administrations, when they sent National Guard or troops, they were basically assisting the Border Patrol with, you know, transportation, whatever it is. They were doing support stuff so more agents could be on the line. The thing is, in earlier administrations, those troops were helping the Border Patrol do their job, which was keep out illegals. Under this administration, they're going to be tasked with helping the Border Patrol do the job that Biden has given to them, which is to be Walmart greeters. In other words, they're going to be helping Biden's people process illegals into the United States even faster than they would otherwise. So I got to say, it's actually would be better if those troops weren't sent to the border, because all they're going to do is speed up this disaster that Biden has created.
So it seems like the Biden administration, on top of being communists who want to flood this country with illegals to bring America to its knees, it sounds like what they're most interested in is just getting these people into America as quickly as possible so there aren't any ugly-looking photographs of them down by the border. Do I have that about right?
Yeah, that's the main thing, is not to stop the flow, but to accommodate it and make it smoother and less chaotic so that nobody has things to take pictures of. That's what it amounts to, including letting people in through ports of entry, the regular legal crossing points. There's this app called CBP One, where you can schedule your illegal entry into the United States at a port of entry. And so you're technically legal, but the administration is breaking the law by letting you in and then letting you go. And they're not going to look for you if you don't show up to whatever hearing you may or may not have years in the future. In New York City, people are getting court dates, illegal immigrants coming across the border, getting court dates in 2033, 10 years from now. It's absurd.
Yeah, okay. Mark, explain to the person who's not on the border and these people aren't moving in next door, explain why it is such a big deal that we have a bunch of people not loyal to this nation flooding into this nation.
Well, first of all, Biden has doubled immigration through this program. He has let in over 2 years more people illegally. And I mean people he had in custody and then let into the country, more people than total legal immigration. So nobody's voted on doubling immigration. He's just doing it illegally on his own. But as far as costs go, what do you think the people in New York think of the hundreds of millions that New York taxpayers are having to spend? In fact, it's so bad, the mayor said he was going to have to cut back services for New Yorkers in order to pay for all the illegals that are going there. There's school districts, especially, you see this a lot in Texas. We wrote about one of them at CIS.org, which is being, you know, huge numbers of illegal immigrants coming in, totally changing the nature of the school system and actually the community altogether. This is one of those things that you may not care about illegal immigration, but illegal immigration cares about you.
Mark, okay, so now that Democrat cities are feeling the brunt of it, I'm looking for any light I can find here. Is there any chance that there's some Democrat pressure put on Joe Biden to stop this? Because Joe Biden's president for another year and a half, a little more than a year and a half, at the very least. There's no stopping it while he's president unless he decides to stop it. Is any chance of something good happening?
Not much. A little bit, maybe, but not much. The mayors of Chicago and New York and others did complain about this behind the scenes. I mean, they're complaining in front of the cameras, but they've called the White House and said, you got to stop this. The problem is this administration is stocked with people who don't believe the border of the United States is legitimate. They don't think the American people have the right to say no to anybody. So that, you know, what are they going to do? They'll do something. They'll go through some motions for political, you know, the political cover, PR reasons. But their heart isn't in it. And you need to have sustained vigilance to stop this. I don't see this administration being able to do it. The only good side, okay, I'll give you a little silver lining, is that things have to get really bad before things change. And we need a lot of change in our immigration system. And maybe this disaster will create the political sentiment among not just people on the right, but in the middle too, to fundamentally change our immigration system.
Fingers crossed. Mark, I appreciate it, brother.
Thank you.
There's, as you can imagine, lots of media stuff to discuss on a day like today. Scandals all over the place, bribery, illegal immigration. Let's talk to our buddy Curtis Houck about that in just a second. Before we talk to him about that, let's talk about your dog's breath. It stinks. Your dog's coat is getting dull. Maybe your dog's lethargic or hyperactive. Joints are going. This stuff is not inevitable for a dog, not as early as it happens. Dogs develop these problems because dogs are never given nutrition. Dog food is brown. Nutrition is not brown. Nutrition is green. Dog food is dead. They kill everything in it on purpose so it lasts longer on the shelf. Essentially, your dog has these problems because your dog has never had nutrition in his life. What about 100% natural nutritional supplement, Rough Greens, you pour on your dog's food? What about that? They're giving out free Jumpstart trial bags at Rough Greens right now. Go to roughgreens.com/Jesse and get your free bag. Or call them, 833-33-MY-DOG. See a difference in your dog when you give him or her nutrition for the first time ever. It's palpable. It's amazing. roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Tucker Carlson. At the most basic level, the news you consume is a lie of the stealthiest and most insidious kind. Facts have been withheld on purpose, along with proportion and perspective. You are being manipulated. What's it like to work in a system like that? After more than 30 years in the middle of it, we could tell you stories. The best you can hope for in the news business at this point is the freedom to tell the fullest truth that you can. But there are always limits. And you know that if you bump up against those limits often enough, you will be fired for it. That's not a guess. It's guaranteed. Amazingly, as of tonight, there aren't many platforms left that allow free speech. The last big one remaining in the world, the only one, is Twitter. Starting soon, we'll be bringing a new version of the show we've been doing for the last 6.5 years to Twitter. We'll be bringing some other things too, which we'll tell you about. But for now, we're just grateful to be here. Free speech is the main right that you have. Without it, you have no others. See you soon.
That I did not see coming. And I know him. Joining me now, Curtis Houck. He is the managing editor of Newsbusters. Curtis, Tucker's coming to Twitter? What?
Yeah. I know, Jesse, it's crazy. I mean, I guess he saw, I know Matt Walsh has started to do this where he posts his entire show that's already on the Daily Wire and other places to Twitter. But, you know, I guess this is part of Elon Musk's vision to make Twitter more than just tweets and direct messages, to make Twitter about much more than that, to be a gathering space with the Twitter spaces that were launched, you know, a little bit before he came in. And now original programming. So Twitter is becoming this, you know, multifaceted operation. And I couldn't think of a bigger get to really kind of help launch, I guess, that phase of the new phase of the company than Tucker Carlson. So I'm interested to see what this looks like. How long are these episodes going to be? What kind of things is he going to do? Is he going to have guests? If what does he mean by other things? You know, there was rumors about this candidate forum, or his investigative stories that he had been doing before he was fired by Fox.
Okay, Curtis, now I hate to nerd out on the details, but you're the perfect one to do that with because I'm curious, and I know you are too. How does one make money from it? I mean, he's not running a charity. Everyone knows he's been publicly offered $100 million by somebody, and he's had these absurd deals, but he's doing Twitter. How do you make any money from that?
I think it's really simple. It's not about the money for Tucker. I think, you know, as a lot of people know, he comes from money, so he's very independently wealthy. Other than maybe paying Fox for, I guess, you know, construction costs, he has the studio at his compound in Maine. He can get a studio in Florida probably pretty easily at his other place. So I think this is really about the mission for Tucker and really, I guess, fighting back against, you know, what he sees as clearly being fired unfairly. So I think that's really what it comes down to for him. And, you know, as far as how he makes money from that, I guess, you know, presumably to pay his staff if he's not going to take any money, if he chooses to go down that route, I guess it would be very similar to YouTube where, you know, it comes down to clicks and monetization of, you know, based on how many views you get and how many eyeballs you bring to the platform.
The media's reaction to all this was, well, predictable. Here was Stelter.
Okay. Well, listen, Twitter was already under fire from misinformation, disinformation, all-out lies, anti-Semitism, racism, before Elon Musk took over. And now it's gotten kind of crazy, right? Seemingly unmoored, if you will. Will anybody be able to police what Carlson says? Or is this the point? It's just a free-for-all.
I think this is the point. It is a free-for-all. It's what Elon Musk wants to provide. This move by Tucker may cement the idea of Twitter as a right-wing website.
Police the idea of what Tucker says. These people really are communists, Curtis. It is their first inclination always to censor, lie. How do we crush them? They can't help it. It's who they are.
Right. E. Jean Carroll, all sorts of like anti-Trump, you know, bits still trend on Twitter. So the idea that this is somehow some right-wing bastion that's like being crushed a la, you know, people at Tiananmen Square is ridiculous. Leave it to, you know, maybe Tom Costello, the host there on the streaming channel of NBC News, should stick to aviation, which is his typical beat. We're talking about, you know, the American economy from a shopping mall in Bethesda, Maryland, outside of Washington. And Brian Stelter should go back to his farm, talk to his kids, Sunny and Story Moon, you know, instead of opine on these kinds of things.
Let's switch Sunny and Stormy. I can't. All right, let's switch it up today. James Comer. Well, who was James Comer?
Joe Biden's son. Joe Biden's brother. Joe Biden's brother's wife. Hunter Biden's girlfriend or Beau Biden's widow, however you want to write that. Hunter Biden's ex-wife. Hunter Biden's current wife. And three children of the president's son and the president's brother. So we're talking about a grandchild. That's odd. Most people that work hard every day, his grandchild doesn't get a wire from a foreign national or anything like that. So that'll conclude our question.
Curtis, it was honestly not very much stuns me. And it doesn't stun anybody that Biden family is corrupt, but the breadth of it. They just take anybody, anyone who's related by blood, and they're linking them up with a bank account. Get ready for the China dollars, baby. How's the media covering this today, Curtis?
Not at all. You know, you notice that, you know, the Biden Justice Department conveniently timed the charges to be unveiled against George Santos just as Jim Comer stepped to the microphone. Isn't that interesting? You know, the wholly independent Justice Department that you hear so often about from the esteemed Karine Jean-Pierre, who's such a big grasp of the English language, that it is completely independent and they make their own decisions and there's no interference from the Biden administration, would time it in such a way to prevent this story from really gaining legs. So between that and E. Jean Carroll, it's really convenient. You know, some of the stuff about China and CEFC, we heard about that from Tony Bobulinski. So that slice wasn't new, but maybe people for the first time hadn't heard this before. But the things about Romania, about an FBI informant, you know, going back to the IRS whistleblower, that is huge. And we haven't really heard any of that stuff. We only had about 24 minutes, 25 minutes on the broadcast networks over just a couple day stretch dealing with the IRS whistleblower. But other than that, it's really been zeros across the board on the broadcast networks this year. So we'll see what it turns into tonight and tomorrow. But I'm very skeptical of that, seeing as how they gave 43 minutes and 47 seconds between Tuesday night and Wednesday morning on Trump and E. Jean Carroll. I don't think they're going to do the same for Jim Comer.
Somehow, I suspect you are correct. Yeah. Curtis, I appreciate you, brother. Come back soon.
Thanks, Jesse.
All right. We got to lighten the mood. A light in the mood that is supposed to help people, especially The View. We will get to that in a moment. Before we get to that, I want to get to this. Let's help you. Let's help you with your allergies, the air in your home and your office. Look, we're all struggling. Well, I take that back. You're struggling. I struggled forever with allergies. Forever. Always taking that stupid over-the-counter allergy medication that dries you out, you wake up with cotton mouth. It's worst. I don't have to do that anymore. I don't even own it anymore because of Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier freaking ever. It's not one of those big towers that sits there. It's just this little black box. About that big. You pull it out of the package, you're gonna think I'm joking. And you plug it into the wall, it doesn't even make a lot of noise. What's it doing? It's cleaning your air constantly. Viruses, mold. My allergies are gone. This thing is a miracle. I started out buying one, I own six of them now. I love it. They're selling three packs now because I own six of them for $200 off. Go to EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse, and get some relief. Get a better smelling home, cleaner air. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. We'll be back. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And when we lighten the mood on this show, sometimes it's puppy videos. Sometimes it's someone tripping and falling, because that's always hilarious. But sometimes it's videos that help you. Videos that help me, a way we can improve ourselves. How about some fat loss tips? Sounds good, right? We have feminists who watch the show. So before we get to that, let's get to this. Let's get to the timeshare you think you're stuck in. You're not stuck in it. You think you are. The timeshare company has told you you are. They told you you signed the contract. You have to pay those annual fees every year. You have to pay the special assessments. It's never ending. You write the check every year. You're miserable. You never even go anymore. Lone Star Transfer caught on to this scam a long time ago. And what they do is they get people just like you legally and permanently out of their timeshare. They guarantee it. They put it in writing. They even give you a time frame. You want to talk about calling your shot. You are not stuck. You're one phone call away from freedom. Call Lone Star Transfer today. Call 844-310-2646. 844-310-2646. All right. Now, how do you lose weight? Maybe this guy's onto something. I'm sorry. I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media and we're doing things differently.
normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.